Send a movie idea.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f***? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hello and welcome to the Dream Factory, or John, should I say the Scream Factory? That's right, it's the world's most spooktacular user-generated movie creation podcast. The rules are simple. We can discuss as many of your horrifying ideas as we like, but only one can be taken through to the next stage, where you'll be offered the chance to work on your screenplay while working in a hotel during winter, with devastating consequences, a lift full of blood, and a confusing sexy old lady in a bath. I'm Joel, a man who puts the ripped in Tales from the Crypt, and across from me is John Harris, a man who is so afraid of ghouls and ghosts that every Halloween at dusk he goes to a 24-hour Asda and walks around it till dawn. Isn't that right, John?
Absolutely.
You like the bright lights?
Nothing safer than an Asda Walmart.
I like the bright lights of Asda on Halloween.
I like the pizza deals. I like the toy section. As a kid, I loved going to Asda as a kid.
It felt so big. I think they are still quite big.
Yeah, I don't think they've shrunk.
So much prompt. Yeah, but John, in many ways, we've grown.
In so many ways. That was a lovely spooky intro. I'm astounded we've not done Scream Factory before. Maybe we have.
I know. Maybe we have. We've been doing this for a very long time. As I wrote it, I thought, I can't believe we haven't done this before. And it made me wonder if there are potentially other spin-offs. Stream Factory, when we just do water-based films, for example.
That'll be harder to get ideas for.
Brill Cream Factory, where we just do an episode about hair. I mean, Cream Factory would have been a more obvious one there, wouldn't it? Where we do a pudding-based episode, which I would have really liked. But that's not what we're here for, John. We're here for spooky, scary ideas. Would you like to tell us one? We've had in from a listener.
Absolutely. This one comes from Sophie. Halloween in 15. Joe Wicks terrorizes a family who are just trying to feed their babies purees.
That is so good. He's like a reverse trick-or-treater, maybe. He's trying to bring healthy snacks.
Oh, that's good. I like that. Well, yeah, because... So, I would say, due to sort of, you know, lazy assumptions, I probably wouldn't have rated Joe Wicks pre-lockdown, but... Lockdown onwards, I just think he seems like a lovely dude. Excellent man.
I'm very pro Wicks now. And could he turn spooky? That's the thing, right? It's the people you least expect. So maybe at Halloween, he gets bitten by, I don't know, some radioactive broccoli. And he goes around house to house, swapping out people's sweet treats for fruits and veggies.
I love it.
And the local town, yeah. John, they love their junk food. They love their snacks and their crisps. And so they become like a pitchfork wielding mob, and they're coming for Halloween.
Frankenstein-y vibes.
It's kind of Frankenstein vibes, yeah. So he's actually very misunderstood.
For the record, I know we've done this before, but anytime anyone says it's the people you least expect, I always have to add the caveat, it's also the people you most expect.
Yeah, it's always the people you most expect. Like, the person I would least expect of doing something awful would be, like, I don't know, a 100-year-old immobile woman. And you know, fair play. If she went on a rampage, fair play.
I like that idea. So he just wants to bring health to this town.
He's trying to spread the health, but they don't want the health.
And so they attack him. I like that. That's really good. Yeah. Just nice little sort of. They're the town from that famous image where Jamie Oliver banned Turkey Twizzlers and the parents were posting fast food through the gates of The school playground.
Simpler times. Simpler times.
Absolutely.
Hey, how about this one from Matt, who I should say is my father, which is very exciting. I mean, I've not heard from him in 3 years. It's weird, a weird way for him to decide to get in touch. He said, Nightmare on Downing Street, open brackets, bit of satire, close brackets. Great stuff. Great stuff.
it's the brackets bit of satire that I like best.
It's the qualification we all needed.
I thought he was being deadly serious.
So did I. He's a very, very, very serious man. Or at least he was all those years ago when we last spoke. Rishi Sunak, the newly unelected Prime Minister, he haunts your dreams.
Oh, okay. Rishi is in your dreams. I could see that.
Rishi Sunak decides to tax your dreams. And people are so afraid because every time they have a dream, they have to pay a levy. This is fucking brilliant. Right, John. Every time you fall asleep and have a dream, a signal goes off. You get these things installed in your brain. A signal goes off that you've had a dream and you have to pay the dream tax. And so people that don't earn very much money are obviously living in fear of this tax. And so they refuse to fall asleep and refuse to dream. The wealthy don't care. They'll pay the dream tax and they'll get their sweet, sweet slumber. So there becomes inequality and quality of sleep. It's like the last bastion of equality.
Right, well, we're supposed to be making horror films, but the last two have just been sort of satirical pieces about how horrible humanity is.
Yeah, and what could be scarier than that, John? We talked about it before. True. It's like when you're at the Natural History Museum and they're like, we're going to show you some scary predators, and you go through the exhibition and there's a scary tarantula and then there's a lion, and then at the end it's like, behind this door is the scariest predator of them all. And you open it up and it's a mirror.
It's actually a picture of Joel. He just didn't realise. It's always been me. A picture of Joel. He just assumed it was a mirror.
And I couldn't understand why every year a representative from the National History Museum came to take a fresh photo of me. I thought it was pretty cool. I thought I was maybe in like the wildlife photography exhibition. So there you go. There's a dream tax. I don't know how it's resolved.
One thing that's interesting is, so podcasts, like news podcasts, are sort of constantly releasing because they need to be fresh and up to date. And even though we're a stupid comedy podcast about films, we're feeling that burn too. That's why, Rishi, we're recording this up to date. 10 minutes before you get this in your inbox, we're recording this because we want to make sure our jokes about Nightmare on Downing Street are up to date.
Open brackets, bit of satire, close brackets, are up to date. Exactly. I actually think the dream tax is one of my best ever ideas.
It's a really good idea. Because my initial thought was it was something to do with like, who's haunting Rishi's dreams these coming nights? And I'd imagine it's Boris, mostly.
No, I imagine that man sleeps sound as you like. Him and his wife are worth over £700 million. And I plan to ever reach a net worth of 700 million and I can't sleep well, I'll be fucking livid, John. Imagine the duvets you have access to at that level of wealth.
Oh.
I know.
My partner, the other day there was the Euro Millions, I think it was £93 million or something like that. You know, one of the big rollovers. And she wrote down, which I think is a thing everyone does, right? They think, what would you do if I had a stupid amount of money, right? Mm-hmm. And she wrote it down and the last thing she put was really good bed sheets.
Yeah.
That's like, but like, if you've got £93 million, you're spending like £2,000 on your bed sheets. Oh, we're not talking like decent sort of Egyptian cotton. We're talking like the best duvet in the world.
Yeah. You're Googling those words.
Yeah.
You're Googling the best duvet in the world and first link, because that will be legit. You're buying
the Google ad, yeah. It's actually, it turns out the best duvet in the world is only $19.99,
but it will take 6 to 8 weeks to ship here from China. They got a £93 million fortune. You're just sleeping under a bare duvet because you're waiting for your 20 quid set. Anyway, let's move on. Let's have another idea, John.
This one comes from Scroobius Pip. He says, Saturday the 14th, brackets, if that's already been done, Friday the 20th.
Saturday the 14th hasn't been done, has it? It's the aftermath.
Yeah, I think we've done Thursday the 12th before, but okay, I'm not sure we've done Saturday.
That was a prequel, so we're completing the trilogy now.
Yeah. Yeah, I guess Saturday the 14th is just like...
The cleanup.
Police. Yeah.
I would quite like to see films about the aftermath of films.
This is a stand-up comedian's routine. I cannot remember whose it is, so I apologize. But they've definitely said a bit about the idea that, like, you know, when like in a horror film you see like someone open the fridge and there's a head in it. You've got to imagine that murderer has snuck into the house and quietly removed everything from the fridge whilst the person's not looking, got the head, and done all of this in complete silence. And just this isn't like a horror film, but it's sort of similar, is this the concept of when someone turns around, they're talking to Batman, and then they turn around again and Batman's disappeared. Someone's made footage of Batman like camping, yeah, running off into the distance when they're not looking.
I saw wonderful. I know we're just saying funny things that we've seen now, but I saw a tweet the other day that was the tweet was like, what's one thing you'd love to be able to, love to do in your lifetime? And someone said, I'd love to stand on the other side of the street and then as two buses go past, disappear.
There's, well, yeah, I think there's a shot from like one of the Bourne films or something. And if you look closely, yeah, you can see Matt Damon running.
It's in Berlin, isn't it? I think it's in Alexanderplatz. John, movie buff, my buffs out there, thank you very much for your, I assume, praise of me and my knowledge of locations in the Bourne trilogy.
I can move on to someone who's given us six in-depth suggestions for the Halloween episode.
Jesus, strap in, guys.
Someone who I did not list as one of the friends of the show last week, and now I feel incredibly guilty.
So they're back with a vengeance. They were like, yes, well, I'm going to earn that fucking friend of the show status.
Right. Number one. This is Alex, by the way. I should at least credit the person who's sending us six ideas. Psycho. Frustrated about being unable to replicate the success of Gangnam Style, Korean singer Psy goes on a murderous rampage and has a shower or something. I haven't seen the original in ages. Number two, the Texas Chainsaw Manicure. Chainsaws, cuticles, and lots of blood.
Good. Very, very, very good.
Halloween! Michael Myers discovers that there's more to life than killing teens when he goes to a theme park. He has loads of fun on the roller coasters, and the end credits sets up a sequel where Freddy Krueger pops Michael's balloon. Number four, baddies, baddies, baddies. A storm traps David Prowse, Robert Englund, Vincent Price, Christopher Lee, and Anthony Perkins as they get ready for a horror-themed Comic-Con. One by one, they get killed off. Which baddie will survive? Number five, The Thing 1 and The Thing 2. A koala named Buster Moon hosts a singing competition to save an old theater. Loads of animals turn up and take part, but mysteriously, they all have lisps. And finally, Scream Adelica. The original Scream film, but with the Primal Scream soundtrack, like when Zane Lowe rescored Drive.
Wow. Alex, that is comprehensive. They're all brilliant. I think I would probably go for the Texas Chainsaw Manicure as my favourite.
Yeah, I agree. I liked Psycho as well. I like them all, but yeah. Texas Chainsaw Manicure, there's definitely something in that. There's definitely something in a nail salon being the scene of a horror movie. That I think there's a lot that we can do with that, with red nail varnish and blood. And I think the man with the sort of creepy mask on his face swinging a chainsaw around a nail salon's not going to go unnoticed. That's the only thing.
Absolutely not. Unless someone had like a particularly aggressive corns and they were grateful. And the tagline could be something like pedicure, more like dedicure or something like that.
I like it. No. Yeah. Don't, Joel, you lost confidence in that halfway through.
The final nail in the coffin.
Oh, mate, this film writes itself. I like the idea as well. Actually, it's the twist is you go in, you see the guy from the Texas Chainsaw Massacre and you think, oh my God, what the fuck's happening? And it turns out, yeah, he is just there to do like really stubborn sort of dry foot rubs and stuff.
Yeah, yeah. He'll get an ingrown toenail out in a second.
He's unconventional, but it works.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Burrow is a furniture company known for timeless design, thoughtful construction, and little details that make life in your space easier. And now they're bringing that comfort and style outside with their outdoor collection. Burrow's outdoor furniture is built to withstand the elements, featuring rust-proof stainless steel hardware, weather-ready teak, and quick-dry stain-resistant foam cushions. As always, you get free shipping on every order. Get 15% off at burrow.com/acast. burrow.com/acast.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
How about this one from Danny? It's maybe the most upsetting one we've ever had. Hollowweenie. A man goes on a killing rampage, chopping off men's dicks because his girlfriend has just broken up with him for never being able to come because he has a hollow weenie. Can you hear the fireworks?
Yeah, for the record, to add extra spookiness to today's recording, Joel's arranged a fireworks display outside of his
house. It's Diwali, right? Is that a Diwali firework?
It must be, yeah, yeah. It's Diwali today.
Yeah. Wait, hang on a sec, John. Happy Diwali!
Oh, I love
I shouted that out the window and then I closed the window. I didn't want to close the window and seem aggressive, so I screamed out of the window first.
I see.
So a man has a hollow penis, John. How do you feel about that? How do you imagine it? Is it like a tube?
I'm imagining like...
Do you know what I imagine? It's like one of those tubes.
A big pepperami wrapper.
Oh, that's really sad.
Are you thinking like a wacky inflatable flailing arm tube man?
I was thinking like one of those tubes you have as a kid that goes... But the pepperami is also good.
Well, that, did you have, you know, that like, I don't know what it was. It was like rubber or latex that was sort of would go in on itself that was in a tube shape and you'd like spin it around. And I think it had water in it.
Oh, yeah. That was good. That thing. That was good. So, I wouldn't want any of those as a penis.
No. I don't want to get too sort of in depth into the details here, but is it able to get erect?
Important.
Does it fill with air? Does it like a pump?
Well, I mean, manually you could fill it with air, I guess. But then, I don't know. Anyway, so the guy, he sets off on a rampage. I guess out of, I don't know, shame? Is it a shame-driven rampage?
Yeah, I can't. I'm struggling to find the motives of this guy.
It's sad. His penis is hollow. Let's move on.
Would you like another one from me then?
Oh, yes, please.
This one's from Josh. Cats.
Great. James Corden. Dresses as a cat and screams at hospitality staff for 90 minutes.
Oh, yeah. I put out a tweet just to make it official. We have banned James Corden from the podcast.
Yeah. It's good to have it out there because we have obviously, that's been an unwritten, unspoken agreement forever, which is why he's never appeared. But sometimes you have to confirm it.
Yeah. I mean, we were getting a lot of emails from him and we just had to sort of nip it in the bud.
Yeah.
Feels good to put that out there publicly.
I feel very much like, my only exposure to James Corden now is people complaining about him on Twitter. I really feel like he's America's problem. Like I've not watched a film that he's in for a very, very long time or any telly that he's in for a very long time. And I don't see his late night show. So really, my life is pretty Corden free right now. Wow, he's cordoned off from my life. And I don't
mind. He's from High Wycombe, which is my end. So.
High Wycombe's most famous son.
Yeah, he really is. I think Dusty Springfield has lays a sort of claim to High Wycombe in some way, so I think she's probably the most famous child. But
and she's very welcome on the podcast.
Oh, absolutely. Open invite, I'd say.
Yeah absolutely. Maybe tweet that, John.
I do that
quote tweet the James Corden tweet and just say, but just for the record, just for the sake of confusion, Dusty Springfield is welcome.
I think, and if I haven't done that, listener, comment on that tweet just saying, Just checking.
Yeah.
What's the Dusty situation?
Actually, reply to that tweet and just check the situation on anyone, any A-lister, and we'll let you know whether they're allowed or banned.
At them as well.
Yeah, make sure you at them, especially the ones that you think might be banned.
Especially the ones who are not famous enough that they won't notice it and have a really fragile ego.
And maybe even if you can't think of a famous person, just tag in some of your friends and family that you want to find out whether or not we approve or disapprove. John will write something scathing about their profile picture and bio, or something lovely about their profile picture and bio.
Oh, well, that's some work for me to do tomorrow, I guess.
There's no such thing as bad PR.
Absolutely.
So let's threaten our way into popularity.
Well, we started a beef with comedian Jos Norris because he has launched a Radio 4 show called The Dream Factory. So yeah, it's getting pretty heated actually. But yep. You know, we'll get a big enough venue. We'll arrange a boxing match. Two against one.
He's got no chance.
Fair's fair.
What do you think? What's the fair way to do it? He can bring a ringer, or we have to tie each other up so we can only use one hand each.
I thought we were tagging in and out.
No. We're side by side, strapped up. But are you right-handed?
Yeah.
I'm left-handed, so we would be we would be so powerful. Jos, you're in so much trouble.
Sucks to be you, mate.
We haven't got a weak spot, although we would be very wide. We'd present quite a big target. Anyway, how about some ideas from friend of the show, Stu?
Yes.
He's provided three, which, you know, makes him sort of 50% as committed as Alex. But committed nonetheless. I mean, three times more committed than most people. No, well, I mean, infinitely more committed than most people. Because sort of 6.999 billion people don't send any suggestions. Stu sent in three. Hereditary.
Yep.
The dabbing in the woods. Oh, the cabin.
Yeah, yeah.
But someone's dabbing, doing the dab.
The dabbing in the woods.
And get gout.
Right, so Hereditary. I mean, again, that's some sort of satire, sort of comment on the fact that sort of a lot of political positions are hereditary in their nature.
Nice.
You know, sort of lots of dynasties in politics. So there's definitely something in that. Dabbing in the woods.
So the cabin in the woods brings together loads and loads and loads of horror
tropes.
So this could be loads of outdated memes.
Oh, I like that.
Yeah.
It's whip nay nay.
It's like kids that are like 13 years old and they're confronted with the sort of the internet from 10 plus years ago and they can't understand it. There's like the I can has cheeseburger cat and they're just terrified of all of them because it's like an alien language.
I love the idea of getting like a current Gen Z and trying to explain Nyan cat to them and stuff.
Yeah.
Chocolate Rain?
Anyone? Chocolate Rain's there in a heartbeat.
Tay Zonday. I can't believe I remember his name. Yeah, so Tay Zonday sort of runs the dabbing in the woods.
He's the evil overseer.
There's like the original meme. So there's like Bad Luck Brian. There's the overly jealous girlfriend.
And they're all, Charlie bit my finger. They're all very bitter because they missed out on sort of huge fame and celebrity before it could be monetized.
Just for the record, listener, Charlie bit my finger. Welcome on the show. Wait.
Charlie's welcome, or the guy, the person who had the finger bit, who actually don't know, no one knows the name of. It's like the second guy on the moon.
Surprise! I think you'd be surprised to discover that Charlie is welcome and the victim is not.
I am really surprised. And that's why people should tweet us, because it's not going to be as straightforward as you think. There's going to be a few curveballs in there.
They actually come from where I live as well. So arguably more famous than Dusty Springfield.
Wow.
There we go. You're learning. If you triangulate Corden, Springfield and Charlie bit my finger, you'll find out exactly where my family home is.
Right, John. I enjoyed those. Shall we have our own ideas?
Yes, please.
Here's my own idea. 8 Smile.
Oh, because
thank you very much. Eminem becomes possessed by a demon that makes him smile at all of his battle rap opponents. They find it very confusing and off-putting. And it also follows on through his career and it makes things like the Stan video quite weird. Eminem is just straight grinning the entire time. Imagine all of Eminem. Imagine some of the really dark stuff from the first couple of albums, but he's just got a great big cheesy grin the entire time.
Is it like the smile, which is sort of creepy, or is he literally just looks very happy the whole time?
Oh, yeah, good point, because that does change things quite a bit, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Either way, it's an interesting gimmick.
Because Stan is either very creepy or very, like, inappropriate. he's reading Stan's letter and he's realizing that the guy who drove himself off a bridge is Stan, and he's like just beaming the whole time,
just chuckling at that idea. Yeah, I quite
fucking
it was you. Anyway, I don't know, I quite like the idea of a big cheeky grin on Eminem.
One of the ideas that I didn't do was going to be simile, and it would be like the film Smile, but slightly different.
Very good. Very, very
Thank
good.
Thank you. But my actual idea is Hell Raisin. A young woman is innocently trying to eat savory food, but with every bite, she is greeted by the Hell Raisin.
That's brilliant. So she's eating things that she thinks should be savory, but they've snuck a little raisin in there.
Yeah. And I don't want to disrespect anyone's culinary
Slag off Coronation Chicken. Slag off Coronation Chicken.
Why are you putting...
Not welcome on the podcast. You can also, look, it can be celebrities, it can be friends and family, it can be sandwich fillings.
Prawn mayo.
Yes. Straight in. You don't even have to cue prawn mayo.
Oh, good stuff. This is a personal grievance. I'm not good with fruit and savory, generally. Mm-hmm, I don't have my applesauce with my pork. I don't have cranberries with my turkey.
It's pineapple just, on your pizza?
Oh my gosh, are you joking? That one seems quite universal as well, right? I think you're in a minority if you enjoy the Hawaiian pizza.
Yeah.
I'm sure the people of Hawaii are wonderful, but their most famous culinary export needs to be taken into questioning.
It does, it does. Or they need to put a new one out their ass. Anyway, very enjoyable, John. I've got to go because it's getting quite late and Rishi's outside with his wallet open, ready to tax my dreams. So let's go. Well done, John. I thought you were very good.
Thank you very much, mate. I thought you were very good too.
I thought you said lots of spooky things, lots of fun things, and we had a nice time.
I don't think we were spooky enough, to be fair.
What's the spookiest thing you've ever seen? Tell me now.
In my life?
Yeah.
Have you got an answer?
No.
Because I can't think of a spooky thing I've seen for real.
Well, I've probably told the story before. Have I told the story about when I was on student radio and I went ghost hunting?
Almost certainly, but it was a while ago.
So. I went ghost hunting and with a friend of the show, Jack, and, you know, just actual friend, Jack. imagine that's we just referred to someone we'd known for a decade. It's just like a friend. Sometimes listener Jack, we did a little fun student radio documentary where we went ghost hunting because we were in Canterbury, which is a very haunted area by all accounts. And we met a paranormal investigator at a graveyard. That was fun. And he walked us around a graveyard at midnight. Now, I will say, he arranged to meet us at midnight at a graveyard and me and Jack drove down there. And when we got there, I was a bit like, well, are we just meeting a guy from the internet at a graveyard at midnight? And he arrived. And his assistant was his best friend's wife. And they just liked hanging out after dark in graveyards together. And that's fine. And that's totally legit. Anyway, at the very end, it's a long rambling story, this. At the very end, we went to a village called Pluckley, which is the most haunted place in Europe. And we went round looking for clues. We went to the graveyard and we were just kind of chilling out. And there was a woman in the graveyard wearing a long red coat. And we went up and spoke to her and interviewed her. And we said, oh, hey, what are you doing in this graveyard? And she said, oh, I come here quite a bit. I'm actually looking for this certain grave. And we were like, cool, good luck, bye. And they went to the pub. And because everything in Pluckley leans heavily into the ghosts and the ghouls, right? They love it. Everything's named after ghosts and ghoulies. There was a guide to the local ghosts in the pub in Pluckley. And we're flicking through it, John. And on the final page, there's the lady in red who stalks the graveyard day and night looking for the grave of her long-lost lover.
I got little goosebumps. I definitely got little goosebumps.
Yeah. Spooky enough for you?
Hired actress, but very good story nonetheless.
Yeah, the parish council fork out a fortune for this woman to help keep the myth going.
One time in my grandparents' house, which I would say is like it's a very old cottage, so it definitely had spooky vibes. And as a kid, I was always freaked out there. I was in one of the rooms and I picked up a doll and I said to my grandmother, this is a really creepy doll. It's like something from a horror movie. And as I said, horror movie, there was a power cut.
Whoa.
So that's quite good.
You said you didn't have an answer. John, I would think about that every day for the rest of my life.
Yeah.
Whoa, that's spooky. Well, listeners, I hope you're spooked out. Don't forget to tweet us asking us if people are or things are or aren't approved by the Dream Factory.
Look, normally the running joke is we ask you to do things and you don't do it. In this one instance, go on. Just do it.
It can be anything. You could tweet the word tin ? And we'll let you know which of the metals are welcome on the podcast. But for now, John, let's go. Well done, everyone. See you next time.
Well done. Bye.
Bye.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Send the guys a movie idea. Tell your friends that you like the show. Follow us on social media. Then you'll be the best listener.